Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure that you knew that my online knee course with Lenny Macrina is on sale for $200 off this week. If you want to learn exactly how to evaluate and treat the knee, you're going to love our comprehensive course where we cover our clinical examination, exercise progressions, and specific information on ACL, meniscus, patellofemoral, articular cartilage, osteoarthritis, and so much more. Plus, you can earn a ton of CEU credit. The course is on sale this week for $200 off. Head to MikeReynolds.com/knee for more information and to sign up today.
On this episode of the Ask Mike Reynolds Show, we talk about some of the internal workings of what we do here at Champion. We're going to answer questions about how we specifically do things like online coaching, one-on-one treatments, and our professional attire.
The Ask Mike Reynolds Show. Helping people feel better, move better, and perform better.
Welcome back, everybody, to the latest episode of the Ask Mike Reynolds Show. I'm up here at Champion PT and Performance. We're here with the new and rejuvenated David Tilley.
It's great. Fiji was great.
Great to be back.
Dave Tilley's back from sabbatical. He decided to make it into work today, so we're good. We're solid. I like it. Lenny Macrina, Dan Pope, all here answering your lovely questions. We are here to serve. We are here for you guys. So without further ado, let's introduce the students. We'll get them going. Mike Scaduto from Northeastern University, the Skid, right? Keisha, what the heck, from Regis University, is here to read some of the questions. What the heck?
Peter from Florida asks, the strength and conditioning field has been doing online coaching for some time to work with people from a distance. Have you considered doing this for physical therapy as well?
All right, so online coaching. Yeah, online coaching's big, right? I mean, I think as the internet grows, which is good, you know, we have a way to share our knowledge and expertise to a larger crowd of people through online. I think this is a lot easier with strength and conditioning, right? Some platforms are coming out to try to do physical therapy. I don't know if there's some legality things. I'm pretty sure people are doing it, though.
Google Hangouts.
I feel they do it. I don't know. Have any of you guys tried it?
I dabbled in when I was in the beginning of kind of like growing gymnastics niche. That people were asking, like, can you do a consult? Like, I made it very clear that I don't want to try to diagnose somebody because I just personally feel like it's really hard to get a feel for what's going on without like doing an evaluation and seeing and moving your hands on and moving stuff yourself. And I did a few of them, and after two, I was like, I just didn't resonate well with me, so I stopped.
Yeah, it's hard to diagnose, right?
Yeah.
So at Champion, we're building out our online coaching platform now, where we're actually putting together a bunch of great features that we're going to be having at Champion that you guys are going to be able to follow some of our programs from a distance, that type of thing. I don't have a good feeling about physical therapy, though. I don't think we're going to give you a good diagnosis without being able to touch you, without being able to do things. Yeah.
Test, retest with, like, hands-on stuff, too. You know?
Yeah, I mean,
part of the diagnosis.
I think we can do correctives. I think we could, you know, try stuff like that. But actually a diagnosis, I think you're doing yourself a disservice by coming to us for that. I feel like it's better to be hands-on.
I feel like you can do it in some ways. I think part of it is that we're probably not good at it yet, right? You're sitting behind a computer, you want to put your hands on someone, you're not really sure where the range of motion is coming from. What I think has been working pretty good is we have a couple athletes that travel from long distances, and we get to get our hands on them, figure out what we think is limited, and then we follow them up. Maybe we have like a really smart trainer, or there's another therapist out there that we can, or athletic trainer, that can look at them on a regular basis. We just keep prescribing new exercises and tweak things, and just we're like consultants in some ways, just trying to make sure they're making the right decisions. But that model seems to work pretty well, but I agree with you, it's really hard to do this online, and I don't think that we know how to do it, and whether or not we're making the same impact in person as we are online.
Yeah, that's a good point, though. Like, I've done that too quite a bit, where you just see somebody once, and then you can help them for months usually because you know what they felt like, you did your special test, and you can kind of see their progress. That makes sense. So, yeah, interesting. But we're going to be doing some online coaching, so check that out. Keep an eye out for that. We'll be getting that going. But PT, I don't know if we're going to be doing that yet. I don't know.
Again, it's the legality thing too. If you're going to bill for physical therapy and give them codes and so they can go through their insurance, I can't see somebody in Wisconsin or in New Jersey. I don't have a license in that state. Like, I don't know how that works. I don't know if you do a wellness visit. Like, it's just, there's a gray area or a world that I don't know if I want to exploit. Never mind what we talked about.
Yeah. We're getting there. We're getting there.
We'll figure it out.
Awesome. What's next, kid?
John from Philadelphia. Quick job search question. I am wrapping up PT school and trying to find a job in a lower volume clinic that focuses on one-on-one time and quality care. The job market seems to be mostly chain companies with a meatpacking plant type model. I've tried online job searches, networking, and everything else. Any suggestions? Is the one-on-one high-quality care model extinct?
I wouldn't say it's extinct, but it's certainly being pushed out by insurance companies. So, you know, we're in an interesting kind of field now where you're actually starting to see even just private practices with physical therapy kind of getting bought up with conglomerates as well and the big, large thing. And we've done this several times just in our careers where we've seen, like in the 90s, like the big Health South and Physios and stuff, or they got like super, super big, and then we kind of, you know, went the other direction for a little bit, and I think now we're going back to that. I mean, you get better rates from insurance companies when you can negotiate, you can distribute your billing departments and stuff like that over like numerous kind of different clinics, that those types of things. So unfortunately I think the insurance landscape is definitely making this more difficult to do. So you could say, oh shucks, right? Or you could say, well, there's a market opportunity for you, right? So as a new grad, I think one of the first things I don't know if caution's the right word, but a new grad going into one-on-one care like that, like, one, I don't know if you're ready for that. I don't know if you're going to be able to give good enough care, because if you lose that, if you don't do a good job, you lose that person, they're not coming back, and it's, you know, they're going to pay a premium to go work with you. But two is, I don't know if that's what's best for your educational development, right? We've all worked in those, what would you say, meat packing factories? We've all worked in those. Yeah, we've packed a lot of meat over our careers. And I think we all kind of, you know, got away from that. I think we all wanted to get away from that, but I also think we all earn that, right? We earn the ability to do that because we set ourselves apart a little bit in our niches. So
I was just talking about this the other day. We had a conversation because someone had contacted me from my school that I went to, Springfield, saying like they really wanted to jump right into, you know, cash based one-on-one practice because they believed in it.
I bet they do.
It's like, I know it's ethically they want to help people, but like you just said, like I think that's a very not good path to take early on, because you need a mentor, you need time for Con Ed, you need experience, you need to just like get your like feet wet and really see a lot of people. And I think it's not like you want to, you know, go at that super high volume where you're overwhelmed, but I think you need to see a lot of things and see a lot of people and have somebody as a mentor near you, like in case you kind of get overwhelmed, like how can you help. And it was interesting hearing from Lenny's perspective, because he's kind of been on both ends.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you do have to join the big conglomerate, just keep in mind your ultimate goal. Like, you have a 2-year plan, get all the experience, but use them, use their resources, use their Con Ed programs, internal versus external. I know when I was at Physio, they were big on internal stuff, so take as much as you can, because they're going to give you a ton of opportunities, and use that experience. And then with the ultimate goal of 2-3 years, you want to move on, and, you know, hopefully you have enough experience that you can do your own thing or get with a smaller group in your network.
Yeah.
I think that's great. The only thing I would add is that I think that running your own kind of cash-based therapy, if that's what he wants to do, is also a skill like anything else. So it's one of those things where, I mean, one of the students I finished up work with, Zach Harmon out in Colorado, one of the things that he's doing, he's working at a standard insurance-based practice, seeing a lot of patients, getting his skills up. But he's also working 2 days a week at different CrossFit gyms and practicing that, because I think it's important to do both. Going from an insurance-based model to this is a little different. It's a different way of practicing. I think it takes some work, and it's not as intuitive as we might think. So maybe starting off doing a little bit of both and then just pushing where you end up liking.
Yeah, actually. I mean, we're here now. We're on the one-on-one kind of thing here at Champion, but it's I think it's because we were ready. It was like an evolution of that, right? Like, man, I used to see a ton of meat in my past, and in all honesty, it helps you, right? Because now I have that algorithm in my head. When I see somebody, it's like this, like the sequence of things that you remember from past people. And I don't know if I'd not want to have that in my brain.
Yeah,
right? What do you guys think from the student's perspective?
I think just the mentorship and the experience of seeing patients is super important, and that, you know, you get so much in school, but really that clinical exposure and clinical experience is what you're going to build a huge part of your foundation.
Yeah, it's all about reps, right? That's a good point, right? So let's say you either have 6 or 12 patients a day, right? You just in a year you're going to double your reps. You're going to probably get better twice as fast, right? Skid, anything else?
Yeah, I completely agree with what you guys said.
Yeah.
I think a lot of students they see what we're doing here, and maybe students that come in and are clinical students here, they think like this is the ideal setup. But I think you also need to practice and get your feet wet and just do all the things, put the time in. Like you guys kind of touched on, and get your reps in.
Yeah, you got to get there. Everyone wants to just jump right to here.
Everyone I work with, that was my biggest mistake in my career so far, is looking at an opportunity and saying that this is great because I thought everything worked well geographically and like for me, but there was not great mentorship, and I really kicked myself a year in.
Awesome. All right, so what's our last question? Let's
Hugh from Pittsburgh. Quick clinic attire question. My current CI requested
attire. All right, no, I'm just all right, so quick attire question. That's funny.
My current CI requests that I wear a shirt and tie. I seem to like it, as patients view us as professional clinical doctors versus Jake from State Farm, polo and khakis.
Jake from State Farm. So who am I? What am I, homeless? What am I?
Like rolled out of bed.
On the other hand, it is also very impractical when demonstrating exercises and performing manual techniques. Any thoughts?
So that's interesting. So we've been through it all as well, right? So Lenny and I used to work with a shirt and tie. We used to do a lot of post-ops with a shirt and tie, so our tie would be dripping in bloody bandages all day. Or we'd spend our day with our tie tucked into our shirt, which doesn't make you look professional at all. It makes you look like a fool. So it's kind of one of the two. But we did that. And I remember, like, this was like the big Health South, like corporate world. And then we kind of went to a private practice and did our own thing. And like one of the liberations was to dress in a polo and khaki, which is funny, right? I mean, there's definitely a look, right? You can definitely tell a PT from a distance. It was like liberating to be able to do that, right? It was just so much better. And then now, I mean, look at us now. We're all wearing sweatpants. I guess you guys are wearing slack. Are these, what are these?
#LuluLenny.
Some Lulus or Lenny's. We're wearing sweatpants. Do you think? So let me ask you, Kurt. Do you think we're not professional, right? So you know, it kind of goes to. I think it goes to your clientele. It goes to your demographics and what you do. I think that we fit in with our model here, and we have a more athletic model. I mean, we're out in the gym half the time more than in here, and this is kind of the vibe we want to create. And I'm lazy, so you know, you put that all together. So I mean, these are my day sweats. I switch into my evening sweats when I get home. But I mean, I don't know. I do like the professional look. I remember being at Health South. I did try to look good, right? You try to look good professionally. But in my mind, I think I want people to respect me for me, you know, not because of what I'm wearing, right? So we've gotten away from that, and people respect us. They come to us for another reason, right? I think like too many students right now want to be like the dorky doctor thing, like, or like make that like a big thing, right? Like, and I think you're doing it for the wrong reasons if that's it, you know, like, you know, give quality care and stuff. So
I say shirt, tie, and a lab coat, because if you truly want to be a doctor, you need a white lab coat.
Yeah, that's a good look. And hey, there's PT clinics around here with lab coats. Yeah. It's a good point. Just in case somebody coughs phlegm on you during
a precaution.
That's technically what a lab goes, but it's for like
protect your
Bunsen burner explodes, and you, right? Like you, and that's what it's for, right? So like, what on earth orthopedically would you
get the hood gas?
Yeah, that's funny. Dan, how do you feel? I mean, you're on the gym a lot. I mean, what do you think?
I mean, I generally take the shirt off as soon as a patient comes. Show them I mean business. Really, guys, I
say God was funny.
I used to wear a shirt and tie. I actually started Tie Tuesdays at a place where I was working at.
Nice.
I think that you do get a lot of people that really respect that you dress well for that type of thing. But then you get some people who are like, why are you wearing this? This is ridiculous. And I split like 7 or 8 pairs of pants. So again, there's pros and cons to it. You know, I'm much more comfortable now. I like this better. But I do like the idea of, as professionals, trying to look like a professional and not just...
Yeah.
always sloppy.
I mean, we do wear polos here. Wear polos, so I mean, you know, so I mean, we do have collars. I mean, that's part of our that's part of our attire here at Champion. So we're not too far away from you, and I think you should look professional, and I think you should look good. I just think you have to adapt that to what that means in your environment, right? You know, like our clients wear sweatpants all day, so if we're in here wearing shirts and ties, they don't relate to us as well, right? It's just different. So awesome. Is that it? Awesome. Nailed it. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, guys. Another great episode. Some great questions. We appreciate it. Go to MikeReinold.com, click on the podcast link, and ask away. Ask us as many awesome questions as you can. The questions we're getting are amazing. Keep them coming. Go to iTunes, subscribe, rate, review, everything you can to help promote this. We really appreciate it to help spread the word. It'd be awesome, and we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, head to MikeReinold.com/podcast and fill out the form to submit your question. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please share this with your friends to help spread the word. It would really mean so much to us. Please check out all my online courses, articles, newsletter, and more at MikeReinold.com. There's always a ton of great perks for my newsletter subscribers. And be sure to check for my other podcast, the Sports Physical Therapy Podcast, where I go deep into topics and interview leaders within our field. See you on the next episode.